Joshua chapter 1, from verse 6 to verse 9. God continues to instruct Joshua after the death of Moses. He's told Joshua that he will be with him and give him great success. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses. So I will be with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. God gives immense promises to Joshua here of success for Israel entering the promised land. God instructs him to cross the Jordan and take that land. God continues in that theme. I will give you this. I will prosper you, but you have your responsibility. You have to go and fight to conquer this land. Of course, we're in the Old Covenant here. And wars were part of that covenant and that system in those days. We're in the days of the New Covenant here. This is called rightly dividing the word of truth. But there are principles here which we can carry over and into our lives as believers. And I address you as a believer. If you want a believer, these principles can come over to us, leaders too, in God's church and amongst his people and in the work of God. But for every individual believer too, there is this lesson for us here. God makes immense promises to us, but we have our responsibility. Be strong and courageous, he says to Joshua. Because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. God goes on reminding Joshua of his faithfulness, of his promise, of his power, of his determination to see through to the end all that he has promised to Israel. But God says it again, be strong and very courageous this time. Repeating the instruction, we have to be strong, we have to stand up, we have to go and do what God wants us to do. The prophet Ezekiel was given this very instruction at the beginning of his ministry. Don't be afraid of them. You have some unpalatable things to do and difficult things to say, but go and do what I tell you. This is the lot of God's people. God is master. God is sovereign. God is king. And he tells us and he rules us and he governs us and we are obedient believers. And then this instruction to Joshua. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. The lesson is clear. Joshua has to be a man of the law. He has to know the law in his mind. He has to feed upon the law. He has to meditate upon it, read it, study it, think about it night and day. And he must obey it. He must bring it into practice. He must carry out all its instructions. He must submit to all its counsels. And God promises him success and prosperity in all that obedience. If he will obey, God will bless him. Now, this is how we have to nuance scripture. That's the word I use. A better phrase would be rightly divide. That's a scriptural phrase. There are those covenant theologians and reformed people who tend to think that the Bible is a flat book and everything is just as it stands and we don't have to think about it at all. If we have to meditate in the book of the law and God will prosper us, physically in that, as Joshua was being promised here, then we'll make a dreadful mistake. By the way, when covenant theologians want to break the law down and throw most of it away and just keep the Ten Commandments, they're quite out of order. It's the whole law, all the law my servant Moses gave you, the book of the law, all of it, everything written in it. What was the equivalent for us? Well, of course, now in the days of the New Covenant, the Bible tells us 2 Timothy chapter 3, Acts 17 and so on, many other places, John 17, the whole scripture, the whole word of God, the whole counsel of the Lord is now our equivalent book of the law. What's the lesson here? Believer, we must be men and women of scripture. Well, we're all men and women of scripture, aren't we? No. Too many come to scripture determined to read it through their systematic theology, through their covenant theology, through their confessions. I plead with you, be like Joshua here. He didn't have to go to the pagans and ask them what to do. He didn't have to consult philosophers and all the rest of it. He had to be a man of, in his day, scripture, which was the law, the entire law. The lesson is plain. We as believers, we as members of the ecclesia, the local Church of Christ, where must we go for our direction? Scripture. The confessions? No. Systematic theology? No. The world? No. Scripture. Oh, we can use our confessions. We can read the commentaries and so on. Yes. We can know our systematic theology. Yes. But we must first and foremost give ourselves to scripture. Now, I'm not naive. I've got 50, 60 years behind me now of the Christian life. And I'm well aware that I've got my systems within me and my understanding and so on. And I'm a man of system. I've taught mathematics for years. And so I like constructs and theorems and setting it out and so on. But I must deliberately set myself always to open my Bible and read and try consciously to take scripture as it stands and rightly divide the word of truth according to scriptural principles, not according to systematic theology or confessions or the doctrines of men. And the prosperity, of course, if we don't nuance this, if we don't rightly divide this, we shall end up as prosperity gospel people. Better suits, better houses, bigger cars, healthy all the time. Nonsense. These things were physical in the old covenant, but the spiritual equivalent in the new is that God will bless us spiritually. This may be physical, it may not. There is no guarantee of that. That's no promise in the gospel. He will look after us. He will care for us. He will provide for us. I'm sure of that. God is merciful to us and good to us. But there's no prosperity gospel now in the days of the new covenant. God is commanding Joshua here. Believer, God commands us. He encourages Joshua here. He encourages us today. Do not be terrified. Be strong and courageous. 3 times within this short paragraph. Strong, courageous. Don't give in. We fight not with material weapons. See, there's another nuance. There's another rightly dividing the word of truth. We fight our battles, but our warfare is spiritual, and we engage with spiritual weapons. The Corinthians letters tell us this. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God will prosper us, help us in a spiritual sense. Here is a word for you then, believer. Be strong, be courageous, be brave, be bold today. Be a man and woman of scripture, first of all. Obey God's word, all of it rightly divided according to the principles of the new covenant, the apostolic way. There's a word to you for an unbeliever, too, as you're an unbeliever. God commands you. God commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands all men everywhere to look unto him and be saved. He says so. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. So there's 2 commands, to repent and believe. God commands you as a sinner, as a human being, wherever you are, to repent and trust Christ. I urge you, obey that command, and God will bless you. In what way? He will save you from your sins and give you everlasting joy and peace in life. If you refuse to repent, if you refuse to trust Christ, then you will perish. Here is the word for Joshua then. I turn back to the believer in closing. Let us today, brother and sister, be strong and courageous. Men and women of scripture, looking to God's faithfulness, going on serving him, obeying his word, not looking to the world or other men, but looking to God and trusting in his mercy and seeing his power, his grace at work, and may the Lord bless us and use our efforts to glorify his name, to bring sinners to Christ, and to edify his people. May God make us strong and very courageous in the face of hostile cultures to live out the gospel for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we do that today, for his name's sake. Amen.